Invite your attention to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Haggai, chapter 1. We'll read all 15 verses in this first chapter of Haggai. This book, along with Zechariah, is closely associated with Ezra and Nehemiah. In fact, it is under the time frame of the book of Ezra that these two prophets were out and preaching or prophesying. Haggai writes a shorter book. Zechariah writes quite a lengthy book. Haggai deals with immediate circumstances and with, of course, a prophetic view. But on the other hand, Zechariah does deal with a broad expanse of time. Yet each one of them were prophesying at a time when the people of God had turned away from the work of the Lord. And certainly there was a need to encourage people to come back to the place of service and to do something that ought to have been done already. And it pertains to the house of God. So if you want to sometime read all of these books together to give you the setting, and we'll try to keep it in context tonight and fill in where we need to. But it was a necessary book in that the folks around Jerusalem had just basically taken a back seat from the work of the Lord. They'd moved into a front seat of a labor for themselves, and that was the focus of their attention. They not only were building their own houses, but the Bible speaks of them as sealed houses. In other words, they were not just houses to get by. I grew up in some houses that were a get by, like some of the rest of you did. Where I was born, it was a two-room house, not a two-bedroom house, two-room house. Not a very large one at that. It's not any wonder that Mother made us play outside a whole lot. But the other houses that we lived in weren't much better. They were, the roof weren't perfect as long as it didn't rain. As soon as it started raining, you just might as well, if it's night, get up. But everything in the house will be wet. But nonetheless, this is not the type of houses these folks were building. Not something to get by, but they were plush houses. They were sealed homes. They were would have been real, I suppose you'd have to say, elegant, especially in the setting of the context of these books and where the folks were. And Haggai will challenge the folks in chapter 1, and there is basically a second prophecy in the second chapter, but I only want to deal with the first chapter tonight in this particular message. So let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll read this chapter, and we'll look at a few thoughts tonight. And keep in mind, this might be the night that I give you a break. I don't know yet. There's always hope. Always hope. I need to tell that story sometime about our missionary Karen Worth. Never forget it, and she won't either as long as I'm alive. But she was still single when she came by here recently, and she was single when we first got acquainted with her. And in a conversation one time, old Brother John and Andy said to her, "Well, Karen," He looked serious too. He said, there's always hope. And to say that to a single woman. Well, he had a lot of nerve. But anyway, that's another story. We'll try to keep her reminded of that every time we see her. But tonight, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word tonight, the privilege to be in this place and to read this passage and to preach this message. And Father, I do trust that you'll speak to our hearts tonight as we look into this particular portion of the scripture and be challenged even as these people of old were challenged by the prophet of God. We'll thank you for what you do in our midst tonight. We'll praise you, for we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be, or to put it into a bag with holes. Anybody identify with that one? Yeah. Most of us can. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build a house. I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains, upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. The 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius, the king. So we see the message did come, but for several years now, the work on the house of the Lord has been stopped. It just had become unimportant to the people. They had met with some measure of resistance, and therefore, with the difficulties, they just simply decided, well, this is not the time to build the house of God. And quite the contrary, most of the time, whenever we do something that we ought to be doing for the Lord, there will be some opposition then to it. But when we quit doing it, then of course the opposition does cease. And if we are convinced that we are moving in the right direction, then we never go back to the work of the Lord. And the house of God will lie waste. But the theme of this particular chapter, and you might only entitle it that way, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You see, how we act in life and what we do will determine whether or not the Lord blesses or does not bless. It's amazing how folks want the Lord's blessing without any measure of responsibility and obedience to the Word of God. seemed to want the Lord just to open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing, but they didn't want to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. So we see then that these folks had turned away. And the Lord, through this prophet, said, consider your ways. This is, of course, the second year of Darius. The word came to Haggai, the prophet. In other words, this always indicates, and I might digress here a moment and take one of my famous asides and point out to you that whenever it's stated like this, that the word of the Lord came unto Haggai, it's claiming inspiration. God is making us aware that this is not just an ordinary book, but it is inspired, and it is a matter of God's record for man and to be heeded and looked into with great interest and intensity tonight. The word came to Haggai, and we'll notice that Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke, if you please, and spake in the Lord's message. In other words, this is what his responsibility is, take that which God had given him and give it unto the people of that particular time frame, and ultimately reserved and preserved for us down through the ages to this good day. But the word, of course, is first of all for Zerubbabel and Joshua. This is another Joshua that we're not looking back to the time of the Exodus and the entrance over into the land of promise. This is a later issue. This is, if you please, after the Babylonian captivity. And there's a returned remnant that has come back. But that remnant then in and of themselves have turned aside at this particular time. And verses 2 through 6, we'll find the first, consider your ways. You'll find the statement made twice in this chapter. And each time that it's mentioned, it has a little bit different perspective about it. Whenever the prophet would say, consider your ways, and the Lord would say to the people through the prophets. In verse 2, we find the attitude of the people as this message came to them. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So this gives us then the people's attitude that, you know, it's just not time to do the work of the Lord. But it's always the time to do the work of the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, it's kind of a trite saying, but it's true. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, we'd best do it now. Because I'm persuaded that time is running out for us as a nation and ultimately as a world tonight. I would be very surprised if the world stands with any consistency in the very even not too far future. I think that we're going to see some dark days, not just a prophet of gloom. I hope for the best. And I pray that this president of ours that's being inaugurated will be able to do a good job. Regardless of our attitude toward him, he is before us as a leader of the people, and we have a responsibility to pray for those, especially in authority, and we're to pray for all folks. But the attitude of the people in Haggai's day was that this is just not the right time. How many times have you heard folks say in a church setting, well, that sure be good to have a new building, but it's just not time to build. I want you to know one of the most precious times in the history of this church was when we built this auditorium. Now, it did not mean it was an easy task, but God gave us a group of men that were capable of working in the trades. We had a desire to build, and the folks built. We, as any preacher does, always have plans. I don't write a lot of them down. We were building the building up here above. Somebody said to me one time, where's your plan? I said, it's right up here. Have a plan. And we had a plan when we started this building program. And honestly, I thought we'd probably be in the process of building an auditorium such as this at least 2 years and possibly 3 years. That we'd have it built in stages that are legitimate. I mean, it's a legitimate way to build. Put down a slab and you can leave it for a long time. It rained on it, won't hurt it to any great extent. Then after a while, you get enough funds to buy the materials and you put a building in the dry. And as long as it's in the dry, it'll last for several years. Then you can reach that final stage and finish it out. And I had it in my mind, well, we're going to just build in the stage. We put down the slab and we'll be done with it for a while. Well, we had no more than put down the slab. And we're not talking about a church now that was a large church. At the time, we were running probably in the 30s and 40s at the most. And the money were there to put this slab down. We put it down. And by the time we got done, the Lord had sent some more money. And I said to the men then, I said, the Lord has given us the funds. Do you have a mind to build? Only question I asked them, they said, we have, in unison. They were in agreement to do that. And their attitude was right, and their attention was in the right direction. But in Israel at this time, their attitude is that the house of the Lord can lie waste. It's not time to build it. But it is time to build it. And in the process of those months that we labored in this place, I came to the conclusion long about February, March, that the Lord was in a far greater hurry than I had been in. And I said to the folks, I said, the Lord's in a far greater hurry than I have been and we have been, because he's sending the funds faster than we're spending them. And that's some feat in and of itself. Most of the time, a church can always spend the funds. But the Lord was sending the funds, and I said to them, we need to finish the building. So we began to labor, and we did spend some nights, some Saturdays, a lot of Saturdays, and a lot of nights. But there came a time along about September when the folks moved into this building. I'll never forget it. We didn't even have air conditioning in the building. That was the last stage of the building process of what we was going to do. We had the furniture. I'd talked them out of moving in here before we got furniture. And we finally got the furniture in on a Monday. And they installed it on a Monday and Tuesday. And it came Wednesday, and they said, we want to meet over in the new building. And I told them we could. I told them that on Sunday night, that the furniture would be in, it'd be installed, and we'd meet in here for a prayer meeting on Wednesday. And as I walked out, I said to the folks, we had the prayer meeting over here, but we don't have air conditioning. We need to go back over in the fellowship hall on Sunday. And they said, no, we're here to stay. Wouldn't move back out. So the Lord was good. But the men had a right perspective about it. They saw the need. And they were willing to labor. And here's a people that God said, you need to consider your ways. There are things going on in your life that ought to be telling you something. And so in our text here tonight, the people just said it's not time to build. But then the Lord asked the question, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? I have some ideas, and most of my ideas are my opinions. I have been accused of being opinionated. I thought of just advocating truth, but some call it opinionated. But I believe the Lord ought to have the best house in the community. I'm not talking about building something that is beyond elegant and unnecessary. But I still believe the Lord's house ought to look good. That's why we got red in here. It's the best color for a church. I made that one choice. I told him, you can argue about anything else you want to about the building program. And you can even argue about the color in the auditorium as long as it's red. But in the text before us, the folks were saying, it's not time to build the house of God. The Lord said, well, is it time for you to dwell in your own houses? Or is it time to build them? And that was their opinion. But now, in light of, he said, consider your ways, in verse 6, he said, you've sown much and bring in little. Are you not getting the message? That's what the prophet's saying. I mean, the Lord has been speaking all along. Many times, the Lord does speak, and sometimes an individual misses the direction of the Lord. Sometimes the church misses the direction of the Lord. And sometimes a nation misses the direction of the Lord and don't understand that God is speaking. These disasters, what we call natural disasters, have not come incidentally or accidentally. The Bible said God has his way in the storm. And sometimes he can speak pretty loudly. And it's very directly. And warn a nation. You see, I realize that there comes tragedy with any storm that comes in, but sometimes God's speaking to the nation and warning them that they need to take a serious look at where they are. Now, our nation has moved a long ways from where it was in its days of founding. I never cease to be amazed as I read of the Revolutionary Army and those ragtag men as they were deprived of food and clothing. We often hear folks complain about the military today, but do you realize that many of those regiments, most of them, they had to do their own, furnish their own arms, their own powder and shot. I mean, there was not this great reserve somewhere that would supply the need. But they were willing to fight because they wanted to be free. And the main freedom they wanted was to be free to worship the Lord as their conscience dictated to them. And so tonight, the prophet said, consider your ways. You sow much, you bring in little. Now you can't keep farming very long like that. I remember the words of my father-in-law, and I thought very dearly of him, Joe Burry Linehan. He farmed out in West Texas and raised Reese and her sister and brothers out in West Texas. Finally, he had to just quit farming because with the drought and everything. And one time he said, when I was farming, he said, I just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger till I went out of business. You sow much and you bring in little. You can't do that too many years. You have to bring in proportionate and have enough to supply the need. And here the Lord is saying through this prophet, you need to consider your ways. What's going on in your life? Is there something there that you need to get a hold of and get the message? He said, you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe ye, but there is none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. And so it's a pitiful sight that we see here. Now, that's the first consider your ways. Consider your ways, see where you are and what God's trying to get across to you, and look at this matter seriously and take it seriously. You're building your houses, but you're not building the house of the Lord. Is this not something that you need to consider? Then the second consider comes in. He's in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And associated with that then is to go or to get busy in the work of the Lord. And this prophet now said to them, consider your ways and let that consideration move you to action. We need the first consideration just to know where we are and how we stand with the Lord. Now, certainly an unsaved person needs to consider their ways and see where they are as far as life is concerned and their need of the Lord in their lives. But then they need to also consider and let it move into action. That's why we give an invitation. I think that it's important to give an invitation on any given day and time as the Lord leads. I think under certain circumstances we need to give an invitation. Because there might be somebody that's here that needs to move. The times when it's basically Christian folks and we might just give an opportunity to come and pray, but You know, if you're saved, you don't have to come a second time to be saved. But we might need to look at our ways and let it move us to action. And in this case, he said, go and supply the building materials in verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring the wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. If I had time tonight, I'd tell you about how that the Lord blessed this church and showed us favor with men. I didn't know a lot of the building suppliers. In fact, I didn't know any of them personally. I'd bought materials all along. I was in business, but the Lord blessed us with some folks and one man in particular. I gave them definite instructions when they went. I said, you go, you ask for the best price, but don't beg. We're not in the begging business as a church. I don't want to even build that reputation and ever have it that way. And I said, the second thing we want to do, anything we order, when they unload it, if they want their money, we want to be able to pay them, not leave a bad testimony. Too many churches, too many preachers, honestly, have had to slip out of town because they couldn't pay the bills. Wouldn't pay the bills or couldn't pay the bills. But anyway, the Lord's saying you need to consider your ways now. Consider what's going on and let it move you to action. Begin to do something. Well, first thing that happened here, and I was amazed at it. At that time back in 1984, I believe it was, $6,000-$7,000 would go a ways. And we required it to put this building in the dry. But old Joe Rumble walked into a man's office that he knew down here on the, had his business on the south side of San Antonio, and he said to him, we're trying to build a building. And he gave him the material list and told him he needed a price. The man looked at him and said, I live in Helotes. He said, I want to do something for my community anyway. He said, there's a pallet of 10-foot tuba sixes right out there. He said, I'll donate that. And I'll give you the rest of the materials that in my invoice cost, which means we're buying them at the same price that man paid for. And this building went into the process, and it was in the dry. My, what a blessing. Supply. Go forth. Begin to do something. Consider your ways and let it move you to action. The results of letting God's house lie waste. In verses 9 through 11, God chastens in verse 9. He produces a drought in verses 10 and 11. He said, you brought this on yourselves and you need to do something about it. Just simply tonight, as we look at the latter part of this chapter, we find the results from Haggai's message. It had a positive effect. There's obedience in verse 12. It said, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the God of, or the Lord of their God, the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. It moved them to action because they feared the Lord. They took the right attitude toward God and his authority. And they committed themselves to it. There's obedience. First thing it does, it brings the Lord's presence. Obedience. The Lord will hang around the place if folks are obedient. Verse 13, and then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord's favor, the Lord's presence. It's a blessed people that have the presence of God with them. You know, I'd hate to have to try to pastor a church and to make it function if God wasn't present. That'd be a hard work. That'd be a job. That wouldn't be a joy and a pleasure. That'd be just a hard job. And it'd be a labor without any reward. But when they obeyed the Lord, it brought the Lord's presence into their midst. And the building of the Lord's house resumed in verses 14 and 15. That which they had let go for years, they began now to put their hand to it. It began to take shape, and it was built in a hurry. It came quickly. with the Lord's favor and the Lord's blessing upon it. And I suppose if I could sum this up tonight, we always need to keep a constant look at our circumstances and see what the Lord's doing. Is the Lord speaking to us? If He is, then learn to be obedient to Him and expect the Lord's presence, the Lord's blessing. This year, we still haven't forgotten it. We're trying to get information on and still would like to go on one more radio station just with a weekly broadcast. I would that you'd pray about it. Ask the Lord to guide us in it. And if He doesn't want us, that's fine. But we want to be sure that it's the Lord that closes the door, not us, who are sitting back and saying, well, it's just not time. It may be the time because this might be the final opportunity for a lot of folks to hear the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Consider your ways. Haggai, quite a man of God, quite a messenger of God, with a good message that encouraged the folks and that brought the presence of God in their midst. Let's stand together. And I'm going to leave an invitation open to you. I'll be available to you after the service if there's a need in your life. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for Your word tonight and the privilege to assemble again in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're taught in Your word, it's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I'm grateful tonight that we can come in the name of the Lord and meet in the name of the Lord and expect the Lord's presence. And Father, help us to appreciate what was done in the midst of these people that Haggai preached to. And let us be mindful that You have not diminished Your sense of responsibility to us and have said to us, you can take a vacation. We are responsible for You. And help us to just do what we ought to do for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord, for I pray in His name. Amen.